Well, good morning. God bless you. We're going to open at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning. One of the things that we've made available for many years now is teachings online, and thankful for Joe, all the work that you've done through the years.
Kind of neat to,
not very often, but periodically I'll just get a little glimpse of people getting blessed by that. And it's pretty cool, though. There's some believers up in Oregon that get together daily in the morning to listen to teachings on Help of Much Word. And then that has since spread to Samoa. There's a prison outreach that's going on in Samoa that's very vital, and they've been availing themselves. So it's just neat to have that available. But the reason I bring it up today is because there are four teachings that are featured kind of when you first come to the website on Thanksgiving. And those are four teachings that I can strongly recommend. They're very good. And it's me teaching, and I'm not doing it to be anything else but just informative, because they are something I think will bless you. So, but I want to bring that to your attention. Thanksgiving is an American holiday, certainly the most right on of all. It's something that our forefathers did from their heart, coming here. they had a rough time getting to America, to say the least, a lot of them. And they were thankful to be alive, and they were thankful to make it through winters and to have a wonderful place to come to where they weren't going to get hassled for being Christian. And Thanksgiving is it's a Christian holiday. Now, I know that, it's associated with football, and I like football, and I like turkey, and, it's all fine, well, and good, but it's a Christian holiday, and it's really a very important part of our lives as Christians, as we'll see this morning. It's something that is, integral to being a Christian. One of the things that I thought about is Thanksgiving doesn't necessarily come natural to a human being. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, is kind of a interesting starting point for the church epistles, because the church epistles start with really chapters 1, 2, and then in chapter 3 with sort of a dramatic, extensive outlay of human problems, of sins, and fruit of human nature. And one of the things that's mentioned there is that in that category is that people neither were they thankful, people lacking Thanksgiving. And it's something that if you practice Thanksgiving and you go out in the world, you can kind of notice that a lot of people are bummed out. A lot of people are kind of droopy and, not necessarily thankful for things. But boy, when you really stop and consider it, we have so much to be thankful for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a very, I got it with Timothy somehow. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, in everything, do what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, the you here would refer to Christians. God's will for our lives, for each one of us, is that in everything we give thanks. So this tells us something that's pretty significant, is that in everything, it is available to be thankful. Now, I think all of us can say that doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to be thankful in everything. We go through periods of time where we forget about it, or maybe we lose Thanksgiving. But in everything, it's available to be thankful. Now, it doesn't say, praise the Lord, for everything, give thanks. Does it? It says, in everything, give thanks. Because there's a lot of stuff that we're not thankful for. I mean, you know, there's a lot of crap. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of junk that we encounter, that we observe, that, you know, maybe we at times, unfortunately, contribute to. But in everything, God's will is that we be thankful. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Thanksgiving is spoken of really throughout the whole Bible, but a lot in the church epistles. But as I mentioned earlier, it's not something that is natural. It's not something that kind of comes with being a human being. So as a result, it's something that has to be developed. It's something that you have to, you know, gain is Thanksgiving. And, you know, to do that, it's kind of a good practice to just stop and think of things to be thankful for. You know, and it's, as a believer, particularly, you know, looking around the room here, you know, people who are familiar with the Bible, it's like you can come up with a real ready, real lengthy list pretty easily. And those are always going to be good things to think about. There's an exhortation in Philippians about, you know, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, when you start thinking on those good, lovely, peaceful, honest, good things, those are things that we are to be thankful for. In Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye," what?
Thankful.
Now, you might not think of it in this way, but those three words in the English, be ye thankful, that's a command. You know, I think if you do a Greek study or language study of this, it's in the imperative, you know. It's like imperative for us. It's commanded. Now, when you think of commandments, I think most people think of ten, don't they?
No,
I mean, the Ten Commandments. Yeah, and most of the, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this. So it's okay, don't do this. You know, don't do this. Well, this is not in the thou shalt not category. It's in the thou shalt be thankful. You know, it's commanded. You know, it's part of how we're to live our lives with God and for God, is to be thankful. You know, having our sons come home, and, you know, our family, our grandkids, those of you that are parents, I think this is something that you can understand, is it's really wonderful when your kids express thankfulness to you, you know, and when they're thankful for you, you know, as a parent. I mean, it's gratifying. You know, it's something that kind of warms your heart and says, yeah, you know, this is well worth it. This is what, you know, something of deep meaning. And, you know, think of God. I mean, you know, a lot of people go through life and, you know, just aren't as thankful for God. God supplied everything for us. He's done everything. I mean, he made this earth for us. You know, he's given us the word to guide us and direct us. He's, you know, and yet people can walk around and just be all bummed out and not thankful. But this is, you know, one of God's great commandments to us, is be thankful. It's interesting. I looked at this morning. In the book of Colossians, This is like a correctional epistle, and it's written to people who are mature in Christ, not beginner, not newborn babes, but people who've been faithful. But it's an epistle of correction, because they kind of fell away from sound doctrine, and they got kind of haughty in their philosophies and, you know, things that are kind of took them away from the simplicity of God's word. But in the book of Colossians, five different times in this short epistle, people are reminded to be thankful. There's another one right in this same context in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So we saw in Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. Here it's like whatsoever you're doing, you know, be thankful. And then Colossians chapter 1, this is kind of one of these all-inclusive instructions. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or has made us adequate, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So that's, you know, one of the things to be thankful for, is that God has made us adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, the inheritance that we have and that's coming. And then in Colossians chapter 2, we'll go there. In verse 7, it says, verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with" what? Thanksgiving. You know, the therein is referring to being established in the faith, the right way of believing, as ye have been taught. In other words, the word that you've been taught to believe. And that's, you know, as it says, how you're to abound therein with thanksgiving. So it's, you know, really our thanksgiving is based upon the word that we've been taught, the word that we understand, that we rightly believe. And then it goes to the other one, this is the fifth one, is in Colossians chapter 4. But I find it interesting that this group of instructed believers that have been faithful to the word, that have known and practiced the mystery, are now being reminded to be thankful. So, you know, yes, it's an attitude that you can develop, that you need to develop as a believer, but it's also something you can let slip, that you can fall away from. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. So, you know, a big part of our prayer life is being thankful, the things that we're thankful for. Look at Psalm 103. Now, thanksgiving is, of course, not just something that's, you know, limited to Christians, that even originated with, you know, the coming of Christ. But Psalm 103, one of the more familiar psalms, I think, to a lot of us. Psalm 103, here it's stated kind of in a different way. So I think it's kind of neat to see it in light of what we just saw in Colossians. Psalm 103, good. It says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his" what? Benefits. So here it kind of stated in a little different way, but you know, it's very much the same truth of not forgetting what God had done for you, all of his benefits, all of his, another translation has this word benefits of dealings, which I think is really cool, God's dealings with you. You know, don't forget all the benefits that God has bestowed upon you. And then you can read this psalm, and this psalm is just loaded with, you know, incredible benefits. Like it says in verse 3, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I mean, that's really cool. And you think about it, how many people are just burdened down by condemnation and sin consciousness? Mm-hmm. You know, all the crap that he did. I mean, every once in a while, you know, even somebody else will bring it up to you. Well, I heard what you did 20 years ago, you know, or you just, person wronged me, or I'm bitter about this, or you know, all that stuff. You know, we're from God's point of view, he's forgiven all of our iniquities. What's this? Who forgives all our iniquities? Who heals all thy diseases? And then this whole psalm just goes on to, you know, lay out so many more of the benefits, the dealings that God has had with us. And here it just says in verse 2 again, forget not all his benefits. Now, it is interesting to note, it doesn't say remember them all. Because if it said remember them all, you couldn't do it. And God doesn't give you something to do that you can't do. Just don't forget them all. There's a really cool exhortation I want to look at with you from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It kind of fits in light of not forgetting God's dealings, not forgetting God's benefits. The book of Deuteronomy, does anybody know what Deuteronomy means?
Yep. Many deuters.
Many deuters. who we used to call deuter? Somebody, I think, was it Sam? Yeah, deuter. Yeah, Sam was deuter. No, this is not referring to. So, Joey, what does Deuteronomy mean?
Second law.
The second law, right. And it's not that it was like, you know, an additional law or from the standpoint of second, but it was like the giving of the law at a second time to Israel. This book. Pertains to the events of the 11th month in the 40th year of the wilderness. So this is like, you know, right at the very end of their sojourning in the wilderness, children of Israel, before they're going to go into the promised land. So what does God do? He gets them together, you know, and Moses speaks to them the second giving of the law, so to speak, or the reiteration, the repeat of the law. Another thing that's really interesting is the word is used one other place in this book. I think it's in Deuteronomy 17. I don't have it written down, but Deuteronomy 17, where it's talking about is if you get a king, if Israel gets a king, that part of the king's responsibility was to sit down and himself write out all of the law. And that was his responsibility. In other words, if he was going to be the king of Israel, that he would be that familiar with the law to write it all out himself. That was something that God said for the king to do, which it shows, again, the importance of God's word, of the law, and that was to be the governing rules, the regulations, the, you know, the very life stream of Israel. And so doesn't it make sense that before they're going to go into the promised land, that God would have his man Moses give them the law a second time and reiterate everything? And that's what we'll read here. And it's really cool. Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says in verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to what?
Do.
The re- reason the commandments are given. Now, we read a commandment was given to us, be thankful. The reason it was given was so that we would do it. I mean, it's not just, you know, tickle our ears and so that we can say what we're supposed to do, but to do it. That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. In fact, I think the word manna, if I remember right, the word manna means, what is it? It was this, like a frost that came up every morning while they're out in the wilderness, every morning except the Sabbath. It would come up, and they would have this frost, and they could gather it, and that would be their bread, their sustenance for the day. In fact, I think the word manna often is associated with being bread. And it literally means, what is it? And they said when they ate it, it tasted like wafers and honey. That's pretty cool. You know, wafers and honey. And then if you beat it, it would turn into a fine oil. So it was like their sustenance for these 40 years. They fed them with manna. I mean, God supplied for them. So, you know, to remember that. Don't forget it. And it says, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. That's the original of one of the most familiar verses in the whole Bible, isn't it? But look at the context. It's in the context of God taking care of you. He's going to feed you. He's going to feed you every day. Manna, daily bread. By the way, the fact that it came up every day was to be a reminder that they were to depend on God every day. When it's in the same thing in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, it doesn't say that he's going to give you a supply of bread for a year, but every day. In other words, that every day we rely on him for our needs to meet God. That's, you know, manna. That was that in the wilderness. And that's to be the same for us. And then it says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. In other words, what's most essential for people to really live is the word of God. You know, I mean, it's put in here in the category of, you know, physical sustenance. But it's even greater than that. The greater lesson is that we need the Word. If you get the Word, then all the other stuff will fall in line. But without the Word, it doesn't. It doesn't work. Just because people have bread doesn't mean that their life's going to work well. But the Word is what causes people to live the way God intended them to. And then verse 4, it says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. They're on the middle of a desert. They didn't get swollen feet. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. That's where they were heading. They're about a little over a month away. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Sounds like where we live, doesn't it? I mean, olive oil and honey and pomegranates, fig trees, vines. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And that's not talking about jazz, but, you know, you really dig brass. No. But again, everything's supplied in this promised land. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, and now here's the warning, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So this is the warning. This is the chastisement of the Lord, if you will. This is the beware. That when things are really great, when everything's going good, when you've had great victories, when everything's supplied, when everything, don't forget who gave it to you. You know, don't forget the Lord. You know, forget not all his benefits. It says, who led thee that great, through that great, verse 15, led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, wherein there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. You know, it's interesting. There's quite a, really a contrast in this chapter between the incredible bounty and plenty of the promised land, you know, all the food, the vines, the houses built, the wells dug, everything, terrific blessings of the promised land, just great abundance, contrasted with the wilderness. When they're in a desert, you know, scarcely finding water at times, you know, having virtually nothing, but yet God taking care of them in both situations. So that regardless of whether you abound or are abased, as the New Testament talks about, you know that God is taking care of you. And for that, you're thankful that you haven't forgotten all his benefits. You know, people oftentimes when things get really tough, that's when they'll look to God. You know, but then when it's bountiful, they forget. You know, God is warning, he's reminding, he's saying, remember me, you know, don't forget me. I'm the one that has blessed you and will continue to, and I'm your ever-present help in times of need. So then it says in verse 17, and thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's not the place to go. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So what a great chapter, really an expansion of what we saw in, you know, little, you know, concentrated dose. Forget not all his benefits. You know, and there's so many things to be thankful for. If you go back after this, fellowship, read through Psalm 103 for all the things that are listed of that God did for the children of Israel. A great place for us to read as Christians. How about Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places.